Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, July 18th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week, and then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. Okay, so let's roll right into it, starting with baseball. The All-Star Game is tomorrow, that's the 19th, and Angels' Shohei Ohtani has named a pitcher and a hitter to the All-Star team. He did this last season for the first time and is repeating this season. There is also a pair of brothers this year in the All-Star game, William and Wilson Contreras, who play for the Braves and the Cubs, respectively. At least they will both be playing for the same team this time for the National League. This is the first brother pair since 1992. The Yankees lead the way with 6 All-Star selections. Pitchers Verlander and Kershaw have both made their 9th All-Star game. And so who's set up to win? Well, the National League has only 12 first-timers, while the American League has the 18. But tune in on the 19th to see. Also tonight, we have the Home Run Derby, and hands down, the story is, will Mets' Pete Alonso win for a 3rd time in a row? Also, the Mariners have won 14 games in a row going into the All-Star break. This is league history. It is the biggest streak active while going into the break. The last game they lost was to the A's on July 2nd. This has put Seattle up into 2nd in the American League West. Red Sox left-handed pitcher Chris Sale broke his left pinky on a play where the ball came back as a line drive from the batter on Sunday's game against the Yankees. This game was only Sale's 2nd start after he returned from a fractured rib, so this kid just cannot catch a break when it comes to those injuries. Also, this was on the final day before the All-Star break, and Boston lost 13-2. This past weekend, we had the MLB draft, and the Orioles got first pick. They took high schooler shortstop Jackson Holliday. Now, if that name sounds familiar, he is the son of 7-time All-Star Matt Holliday, and he's from Stillwater, Oklahoma. He did commit to Oklahoma State for baseball, but is now likely going to the pros. The most newsworthy story of the night, besides the number one pick, was number 3, and that went to the Dallas Rangers. Not just because I live in Dallas did I say that this was newsworthy, but it was newsworthy as the Rangers picked Vandy pitcher Kumar Rocker, who was drafted 10th last year by the Mets, but they did not extend a contract due to medical issues. However, he got drafted again this year, and that was a pretty big shocker to be drafted number 3, so that's really exciting. We're going to go ahead and skip to golf because there is a lot going on in the golf world right now. The final major of the year was this past weekend in the Open Championship, also known to those of you who don't watch golf a ton as the British Open, and it did not disappoint. It looked to be Rory McIlroy's day after an 8-year major championship drought at the birthplace of golf. However, nothing fell Rory's way on Sunday, and Victor Hovland, who was tied with the lead going into the final round, shot over par. Aussie Cam Smith and his mullet had the lowest final nine holes in a major to drop his total 72-hole score to 20 under par. This ties the lowest major championship score ever. Smith started four shots behind Hovland and McIlroy going into the day when he teed off and was still three behind when going into the final nine. However, that huge streak on that back nine, and I mean, it just constantly, putts just fell all the time. And so he ended up clinching the Claret Jug and became champion golfer of the year. That is what you become known as when you win the Open. So let's go ahead and do a hashtag girlfriend hint here. Why do golfers care so much about this place? So St. Andrews in Scotland is the supposed birthplace of golf. So it was a storied championship. The Open Championship is one of the oldest contested sporting events in history, dating back to 1860. And like I said, Scotland is known, and St. Andrews specifically is known to be the birthplace of golf. It only comes there once every 7-ish years. So it was just a huge, huge deal. Also making it a big deal, Tiger Woods missed the cut after shooting a 9-over score in just the first 2 days. His first day, he actually hit a 6-over par and the cut was at even. So he had quite an uphill battle to make that cut and he just couldn't recover. As he went over the iconic bridge at the Old Course and came into the clubhouse, he did tear up and the crowd went crazy, as this may be the last time he will play at St. Andrews. So also after this weekend, don't feel too bad for Rory McIlroy. He did finish top 10 in all four majors this year. He got second at the Masters, eighth at the PGA, tied for fifth at the US Open, and now got third at the Open. So his time is definitely coming. I feel like not a week goes by without touching on the LIV Tour, especially when golf was in major championship season. So we are going to go over some of the rumors that have been swirling. Some of those are Charles Barkley has been targeted by the LIV Tour to be an announcer. Also rumors that Henrik Stenson, the European captain for the Ryder Cup, could be going to the LIV Tour. And new major champ Cam Smith is also included in those rumors. So far, again, these are just rumors. However, what's not a rumor and what came out today, according to the New York Post, David Faraday is leaving NBC to become an announcer for the LIV Tour. He's had his own show on Golf Channel. He is definitely a big time known voice and face of golf. So that would be a huge get for the Saudi backed league. We have a lot of Olympic sports to go over, so let's start with the Tour de France. After a rest day last Monday and climate change protests delaying stage 10, Tadej Pogacar relinquished the yellow jersey during stage 12 to Jonas Vingegaard. In stage 15, Vingegaard then lost two teammates to injury and fell 55 kilometers from the finish. However, he still holds the overall lead by 2 minutes and 22 seconds. Belgian racer Jasper Philipsen won the sprint stage on stage 15. Philipsen thought he won stage 4 and celebrated before realizing that another rider had actually finished quite far in front of him. So this time his celebration was for real. So sometimes it does come back around. It was a rest day today, the final rest day of the race, and the race will end this weekend on Sunday on the Champs-Élysées. Like I said, I had a lot of Olympic news. That's mainly because track world championships have begun, and oh my God, it's been awesome. So excuse me for getting super pumped, but it has been fabulous. This has the first American hosted worlds, and it has been American domination pretty much from that first gun. The first final event was the 4x400 meter mixed relay, and the United States went with experience over raw talent, and they did earn bronze. It was the reason why this race is so important, though, is it was truly the end of an era, as this was Allyson Felix's final race. Allyson Felix has been competing on the international stage since the Athens Olympics in 2004, and she's fought for maternity leave for female athletes and will leave a legacy in the sport as the most decorated athlete, male or female, in world championship history. Personally, as a track and field athlete myself, she was a huge idol to me growing up. She then went to USC, and I have been able to follow her career. She was a 400 meter, 200 meter, and even dabbled in the 100 every once in a while. It was a privilege to get to know her. I actually met her once as well, and she has been a true idol for those of us in the sport. So it was very touching, and I got very verklempt on her final race. So congratulations, Allyson Felix, on everything you have accomplished. The other huge headline that happened this past weekend is the United States ruled the men's 100 meter. Fred Curley, who actually started out as a 400 meter runner and who won a medal at Worlds in the 400, now is the 100 meter world champion. He is the first sprinter to win a Worlds medal in both the 400 and the 100 meter dash. Usually that's just 400 meters is a long way. That's over 44-ish kind of seconds. And you're going to 10 seconds, usually not the same type of speed. And so it is just a double that's never been done. So congratulations to Fred Curley. Oh, and it was also a United States sweep with the podium of Bracey and Brummel getting second and third. It was a teammate showdown in the women's pole vault between United States' Sandy Morris and Katie Najat. Katie came back from behind after having two misses at previous heights before clearing 15:10 on her first attempt. Sandy, who had gotten clean up until that point, missed on her first attempt before clearing on her second. That was enough to make the difference. They were the only two to clear that height. American shot putter Chase Ealy became the first American woman to win the shot put world title. We've won Olympic golds before, but never a world title. The United States seemed primed for another sweep in the men's 110-meter hurdles. There was just the Olympic champ, Jamaican Parchment, standing in the way. That was until warmups. Parchment went over one of the hurdles. You usually go over 1 to 2. He went over 2, and it looked that he scraped the back of his leg on the hurdle and immediately went out of the race after that. Could not walk. I mean, the physio came on to the field. It was crazy. And as if that weren't enough drama, now the chance of a sweep looked pretty much just set up for an easy walk until new Eagles wide receiver Devin Allen false started, and he actually false started by 0.01 seconds. So Holloway did repeat his world title, and Cunningham, a Florida State standout, took second. So I'm going to go ahead and drop another hashtag girlfriend hint here in track and field. It's one and done. If you false start, you're out. At most major meets like Worlds and the Olympics, the blocks actually have a sensor in it. And if your reaction time is faster than 1/10 of a second, that's 0.1, you'll be thrown out. So in this case, Devin Allen actually quote unquote false started. You could not see it. Even a trained eye like myself couldn't see it. But his reaction time was 0.9099, which means he was 1/100th faster than that allowable reaction time. And this was his home track. He actually competed for Oregon. He played football for Oregon, and they threw him out anyway. So really not going to let that slide, obviously, at something like the World Championships, but it was heartbreaking for those of us, those are Americans and who are watching, hoping for a sweep, which was very likely as Allen had the world leading time this year, as well as being that hometown favorite. And he recently lost his dad. So this was just truly heartbreaking for Devin Allen. Also, just the multi events are the only ones who get multiple chances, because they're not going to throw out somebody who's doing 7 events and you get thrown out because of 1/100th on the first time. You will get thrown out on the second. Going back to world results, though, the 100 meter was not the only sweep for the Americans this weekend in the first weekend of Worlds. The American shot putters also swept the podium. Ryan Crouser had never won a world title, having been denied that by his teammate Joe Kovacs until last night. Fittingly, Crouser is from Oregon, so he grew up there, and then he beat Kovacs by 0.05 meters. In a surprise finish, Adewande also took bronze to get a new and did a new PB to do it to complete the American sweep. Sweep was the theme of the night. It was possible in the 110s. We did it in the shot put. And sure enough, the women's 100 meter was a sweep as well, this time by the Jamaicans. Remember, they did this at the Tokyo Olympics, but this time the order was different. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce was first place with a time of 10.67, which is a new championship record that beats Marion Jones's record that stood for a while. She is 35 and a mom and now has 5 of the last 7 world titles in the event. Her Jamaican teammate Sharika Jackson got second and Thompson Hurrah got third. Fraser-Pryce has won the 2009, 2013, 2015, 2019 world titles, as well as the 2008 Olympics and the 2012 Olympic gold medal. Believe it or not, I have some soccer news. Lionel Messi's contract with Paris Saint-Germain, or Paris Saint-Germain, is up this year, and we have at least one MLS team who's ready to roll out the big bucks to get him stateside. Inter Miami has hinted that getting him here would be huge for the United States, especially pre-North America World Cup, and Inter Miami is co-owned by David Beckham, so we will see if that comes to fruition. Moving along to what to watch this upcoming week, obviously it's the All-Star break for baseball, so not a ton of baseball going on. We do have the Home Run Derby tonight on Monday at 7 p.m. That'll be on ESPN, followed by the All-Star game tomorrow, the American at National Leagues, at 7 p.m. on Fox. The pitchers for that will be McClanahan versus Kershaw. Then games resume on Thursday, the Giants at the Dodgers at 9 on ESPN. The Astros will face the 14-game streak Mariners at 3:10 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 on Saturday. Then we also have the Rangers at the A's at 8:07 on Fox Sports 1, followed by the Cubs at the Phillies at 11:05 a.m. on Peacock starting Sunday, and the Padres at the Mets at 6 on ESPN. This weekend in the world of golf, you may see a little bit of older gentlemen playing on TV quite a bit. That's because it is the Senior Open Championship that begins Thursday with round one. That will be at 6 a.m. on Golf Channel and then 10:30. That will be pretty much all week. So the PGA Tour will be competing at the 3M Open. You can catch that round one at 1 p.m. on Thursday on Golf Channel and Friday same time. Then on the weekend, 3M moves from 2 noon on Golf Channel and 2 on CBS for rounds 3 and final round. We do have the French Grand Prix for Formula One this Sunday. That will be at 8 a.m. on ESPN. And so it's a big weekend in France as we have that. And then the Tour de France continues. So Monday night on the Olympic sports, we do have track and field world championships. That will be at 8 a.m. on USA. That's the women's marathon. Then at night at 10:30, 1 p.m. on USA, the finals that night are the heptathlon, the men's high jump, the women's triple, the women's 1500, and the men's steeplechase. Then on Tuesday, we have the Tour de France, stage 16. That will be at 7 a.m. on USA. And track and field world championships will be at 10:35 p.m. on USA with the women's high jump, the women's discus, the men's 400 meter hurdles, and the men's 1500. Wednesday, Tour de France, stage 17 at 7 a.m. on USA. Then track and field championships. This is a little bit more reasonable time at 6:30 p.m. on USA. The finals there are women's discus and the women's steeple. On Thursday, stage 18 of the Tour de France at 7 a.m. on USA. World championships will be for athletics will be 7 p.m. on USA. That will be the men and women's 200 meter. The men's 200 meter will pretty much come down to Americans Noah Lyles and Arian Knighton. He is, again, faster than Usain Bolt was at his age, and Noah Lyles is the favorite. So there's a little bit of a rivalry going on there. It should be amazing to watch that come to fruition on Oregon's track. Then for the women 200 meter, keep in mind that all three Jamaicans that just won the 100 and swept there are also in the 200, so they could also sweep that event. Let's see if they can do the double sweep. On Friday, the Tour de France Stage 19 will be 7 a.m. on USA, followed by Track and Field World Championships at 7:30 p.m. on USA. Finals for that will be the women's javelin, the men and women's 400 meter, and the women's 400 meter hurdles. That race is a highlighted event for the United States as we have Dalila Muhammad rematching against Sydney McLaughlin, who are both world record holders and just longtime historied winners in that event. On Saturday, the Tour de France Stage 20 will be at, guess what, 7 a.m. on NBC this time, however, not USA. Then Track and Field World Championships, we have a whole day planned. So at 1 p.m., you can catch it on NBC. Then it goes to CNBC at 7 p.m., then back to NBC at 8 p.m. And the finals that night will be the men's triple jump. Shout out to Will Clay. Hopefully he wins. The men's 800 meter, the women's 5,000 meter, the men's javelin, and the men and women's 4x100 meter relays. Also Saturday at 2 p.m. on NBC, you can catch the Ironman World Championships. That's always held in Hawaii. On Sunday, the Tour de France Stage 21, this will be on the Champs-Élysées, and pretty much the yellow jersey will be wrapped up. That will be at 9 a.m. on USA and then at 1 on NBC. World Track and Field Championships will be on TV as well, starting at 7 p.m. on CNBC and then at 8 on NBC. This will finish up Track and Field Championships, so you can don't have to listen to me talk about it anymore. Finals that day will be the men's pole vault, the women's long jump, the men's 5K, the women's 800 meter, where we have never seen a thing Mo get defeated, the women's 100 meter hurdles, the decathlon, and the men and women's 4x400 meter relay. We also have a couple of soccer games going on this week. Copa America Femenina is going on, so that's South America and Central America tournament, as well as UEFA Women's Euro Championship this week. And then on Saturday, we have a club friendly, Bayern Munich versus Manchester City at 10 p.m. on ESPN, and an MLS game, the LA Galaxy versus Atlanta United at 8:30 on Fox Sports 1. That wraps it up for me this week. I know that was a lot of track and field, but it's been American domination at the first American Worlds, and I want to keep y'all in the loop. So it'll be over this weekend. You won't have to listen to me talk about it after next week. If you liked the podcast, please rate it and go check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for anything else. Go Team USA, and I will catch y'all next week.